Your Bibles to Luke chapter 15, please. Luke chapter 15. I'm going to speak this morning about getting back home. Luke chapter 15. Begin reading in verse 11 of Luke 15. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger son, the younger of them, said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me. And he divided them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all there, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Have you ever gotten lost? I've had a driver's license for about 50 years. I can't even remember all the times that I've taken a wrong turn or gotten lost or taken a shortcut that wasn't. We lived in northwest Kansas for 17 years. We were just 10 miles south of Interstate 70. So when we would come back east, and we made that trek, I don't know, probably at least 14 times in the 17 years that we were there. So 10 miles north, turn right, and stay on I-70 at least until Columbus, if not even into Pennsylvania. Pretty simple, right? Well, not always. One of the most memorable times is around Kansas City. It was about a five-hour drive from our house to Kansas City. And we got there, and somehow I got off of Interstate 70 and ended up in the worst part of town. And we're down there and circling around, and I cannot for the life of me figure out how to get back on to the interstate. I mean, it was right there. We went under it and back under it and under it and back under it. But I couldn't figure out how to get onto this stupid thing. And I don't know, it was probably 30, 45 minutes messing around trying to figure out where the entrance ramp was. And after, Ben was probably about 4 or 5 years old at this time. And we had him sitting up in the front seat of the van. And after about the third or fourth pass underneath the interstate, Ben says, Dad, I hate to say it, but I think we've been this way before. We almost lost him that day. We finally made it, obviously, but getting lost is sometimes easier than you think. I mean, you make your plan, you know, just, man, here's the road I'm going to take. And then something happens. I don't know if I got distracted or just wasn't paying careful enough attention or what happened, but somehow I got off of that thing. You know, that's kind of like this prodigal we read about here. He didn't plan to end up in the pig pen. He didn't plan to be there with no food, ready to pig slop, no money, no friends, but that's where he ended up. he got off track somewhere. The question is, how do you get your life back on course when you get there? Because spiritually, this thing can happen to us just as easy as it can in the when traveling in the highway or so forth. So I want to see how we can get back home when we find ourselves off track this morning. First, I want you to notice his awakening here. Verse 14, let's start there again. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. That was foreign to him. And he's to the place now where all he has is want. His money is gone. His friends are gone. He's hungry. He's desperate. And he's got nothing. And it says he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country who sent him out to feed the swine. And he was ready to fill himself with the husks, the slop that the pigs are eating. This kid had grown up in a good home. He'd grown up with a father that had provided all that he needed. But it wasn't enough for him. There was something more out there. There was something being withheld from him that he desired. Kind of sounds like the Garden of Eden, doesn't it? Hey, Eve, doesn't the fruit on that tree look good? You know, God's just keeping that from you because he knows it's going to make you wise. It's good for food. Making you desire what you don't have. Making you think you're missing out on something. That's what brought this kid in this, to this place here. He envisioned, this is not what he envisioned being in want here. I can imagine as he is, and I don't know if he set out with the friends or what, but had this dream of what his life was now going to be like. He's gotten his inheritance from his father. His pockets are full. His hopes are just full as well. But it's all gone now. This isn't where he thought he'd be. Finally free of all his father's rules. Finally away from all the chores on the farm. I'm going to live it up now. Yeah, he's really living it up, isn't he? This wasn't the good life and the freedom that he had envisioned when he left. But this is where he ended up. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, and there's a couple other places it says this, I think, too. It says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. This is the way he has taken. Look at Proverbs chapter 1. Keep your finger in Luke 15. Proverbs chapter 1. This is what's led him to this place. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10. And this is Solomon, of course. Solomon's writing these to his son. Solomon, who had wasted his life, been given everything, and he wasted his life. And at the end, he came to an awakening as well. And it's too late for Solomon, but he's writing now this in Ecclesiastes to try to help his son to not follow in the same snares that he fell in. He starts out here, verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Where did that young man get the prodigal get the idea to go to the far country in the first place? Somebody planted the thoughts in his mind. Hey, here's what you can get over here. Here's what we're stuck with on the farm. But here's what's open and available to you if you can just break free from this. "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us look privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as a grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. Man, you won't believe what's available to you out there. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. And he's in a position now where it's all been taken away from him. And he's alone, starving to death. Look at chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14. Enter not into the path of wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more under the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. You know, there's people out there that just want to trip you up. Just want to suck you in. And we might immediately think of the drug dealers. You know, you are their cash cow. They get you hooked, then you're dependent upon them to supply your need. But that's just one example. There's so many others as well. Beware, young people. There are snares being laid out for you, and as mean as you think we parents are to you, we're only trying to protect you. And I'm speaking as one who went down that road before I got saved. Beware. This is where this young man is. He believed the lies. He got sucked in by someone or someones. And now he's in this condition. And what's happened is slowly and gently, but oh so steadily, the cords of sin have entwined and bound him. You'd think it's Samson. Samson's a perfect example of that. He got to messing around with things and associating people that were not to be associated with, and playing a little game. Boy, wasn't it fun to break through free from the bands that they bound him with and just show his great strength. But finally God says, that's enough. And as a Nazarite, he had a vow to not cut his hair, and he allowed them to cut his hair. And when that vow of God was broken, God lifted his hands away from him. Say, okay, Samson, you're done. And he got bound that last time, and that was it. They put out his eyes, and he was blind and grinding in the prison house. It happened oh so subtly. But finally, a person gets trapped with those cords of sin that bind them and keep them fast. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews, I forget where it is, but it talks about the pleasures of sin for a season. There's no question about it. Many sins are pleasurable for a season. But then when that season's over, that's when the suffering begins. There's excitement there. There's joy in that thing for a season. But then you got to pay the bill. And that's where the prodigal finds himself now. The parties are over. His money's all gone. His friends have abandoned him. The excitement has ended. And reality has set in. as he sits there envying what the pigs are eating. He's so hungry. And for the first time in a while, a light of truth shines into his soul. He's looking at his deplorable condition there, and suddenly some understanding brightens his outlook. And he says, look at verse 17. And when he came to himself, see, right now he's got two options before him. He could stay in this condition. He could remain here and die here. Just give up. Quit. No hope. But then the light comes. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger. See, he's not looking at this now as a child of his father. He's looking at it as a servant. He says, even the servants in my father's house have all that they want. They're well taken care of. And he says, verse 18, I'll rise and go to my father and will say to my father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He's got a firm grasp of reality. Man, I deserve nothing from my father. For what I did to him, the things that I said when I left. Put yourself in that position for just a minute. This would probably be one of the hardest things in your life to do. To go back. With your hat in your hands, begging for mercy. Admitting you're wrong. And Dad was right. But that's the place he's at. And you know what? Some people never do that. They choose to stay in the pig pen because they won't admit they're wrong. They won't swallow their pride. They won't seek the mercy that's abundantly available. And folks, it's true in the spiritual sense as well. There's Christians that allow themselves to be identified with the pigs rather than with the Father. Because of pride. I've sinned. I'm not worthy. Just let me be one of your servants. His action. Look at the situation is bleak. His options are limited. He's mentioned this. He can go home, plead for mercy. And that's exactly what he did. That's exactly what some Christians maybe need to do. God, I messed up. And I don't think there's a person in this room this morning that can't point to at least once in their life, if not multiple times, when you've been in the same situation. Lord, I've sinned. I have failed you, my Father. And I am not worthy. But you know, this is a truth that Gary's been was emphasizing this morning in Sunday school. We need to recognize our identity in Jesus Christ. Let me go to that verse. Keep your finger here. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 again. No, that's not right. Is it? 1 Corinthians. Yeah, I think it is. No, I think it's chapter 6. Yes. Verse 11. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11. Let's back up a little bit. Verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, it doesn't say are not saved. It's talking about inheritance. It's not talking about salvation. People get messed up on that. He goes on, he says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And you know what? There's Christians who have committed every one of those sins. It affects your inheritance, your eternal reward. It doesn't affect your salvation. But let's read on here, verse 11. And such were some of you. Such were some of us. We probably all fit into at least one of those categories, of those things that are listed there. That's what I was before I was saved. But you're washed. But you're sanctified. But you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. It doesn't say I'm washed, sanctified, justified by my own good works. Those things are accomplished through what Jesus Christ did for me when I trusted Him as my Lord and Savior. And now my identity with God is not an extortioner or an adulterer or an effeminate or any of those other things. My identity is as a child of God. And as that boy sitting there in the pig pen and looking around, he says, this isn't what I am. He made the choice to be there. He says, this isn't what I am. Because I've got a father back on the farm. And I'm his child. I blew my inheritance. It's gone. But I'm still his child. And that's what each of us are. If you're saved this morning, you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified by the Spirit of God. That's your identity in Jesus Christ. That's that truth that Gary's been trying to get across through the Sunday school lessons, especially this morning. Who I am in Jesus Christ. And I don't always live up to what and who I am. But that doesn't change the fact of what God has done in my life. And this young man comes to that realization. You know what? There's something better. And even if I'm just reduced to being a servant in my father's household, I'm better off there than where I am right now. And so he goes up and he gets ready to plead mercy. He takes action on the truth that's come into his life. Look at Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. I'll just throw myself at my Father's mercy. Would you just let me come back? As a servant, I'll feed your pigs and be better off than I am right now. So he approaches his father, verse 20. Says, and he arose and came to his father. He returns from the far country. You know, he just didn't go to town. He moved out of state. And this journey in itself was probably pretty rough. And it was a whole lot longer going back home than it had been when he was leaving. I mean, he's low right now. He's dirty. He's smelly. He's ragged. He's starving. It's a rough road home. And just like Naomi, he went out full and he came back empty. There's an old expression that says, sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will cost you much more than you want to pay. And sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. But he's breaking free from that. He heads back in the depths of despair. And can you imagine? There's probably a demon on his shoulder the whole way. Ah, you're done, boy. The things that you said to your dad, the demands you made upon him, and how you've squandered everything that he worked so hard to give to you, he'll never forgive you. You're wasting your time, boy. Just as well go back where you were. You'll be no better off. All the way, those doubts, I'm sure, must have been circling through his mind as the devil kept planting him in there. The same one that got him to leave in the first place. He returns. I've wronged you. I've failed you. He'll never forgive you. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. I sometimes struggle there. Apt to teach. Patient. I really struggle there. In meekness, instructing those that impose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. There are folks in that condition in this community right now. Maybe somebody like that right here this morning. Our responsibility is to try to gently and patiently release them from their bondage with the truth of God's word. Amen. That's what came to this boy's heart. There's hope because of my father. And he goes back there. He approaches him with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. That's the thing that God looks at, Psalm 51:17 tells us. God will not despise those who come to him with a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. If you're in this condition this morning, God's just ready and waiting for you to come back. God won't reject you. He tells us that we're to reach out to them as well. If God wants us to reach out to others, doesn't that mean God's willing to receive us as well if we're in that situation? He approached him with that way. I've sinned. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. You know what? That's as far as he got in his statement. Look again at that. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 and verse 20. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, he didn't even get to the gate. That father had been watching for him, just like our Heavenly Father does for us. Sometimes we get the idea, and I know I had this for a long time, is that God's just looking for a chance for us to step out of line so he can give us a whack. That's not our God. God's a loving, compassionate Father, just like the Father of the prodigal. In fact, I believe this is a picture of God the Father with us as his children. He wants us to come back. It says the angels of heaven rejoice when a sinner comes to repentance. That's a great thing. When someone finally comes to themselves and wakes up and says, man, there's only one place for me to go. To fall at his feet and plead for mercy. And he saw him a great way off and had compassion and ran and fell on his stinky, ragged, filthy neck and kissed him. Think about that. This kid could not have been a pleasant sight or anything pleasant about his presence because of the condition that he's been in. And that didn't stop the father. He just grabbed him, ran to him and grabbed him and hugged him close and began to kiss him. That's our Father in heaven. You say, oh, God could never forgive me for that. If you're saved, he already has. If you're his child, you have forgiveness of sins. You got that when you got saved. For every sin that you'll ever commit. Again, I'm not saying there won't be consequences. But what it won't affect is your salvation. Because you're not saved by you. You're saved by him and what he did for you. Ye are sanctified. Ye are justified. You're made righteous by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And the Son said, verse 21, unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And his father stopped him right there. He never got to go on in the speech about becoming one of his servants. He stopped him right there. Called for the fatted calf. Put the best robe on him. Put a ring on his finger. And they had a feast. Because this my son that was lost is now found. He's dead and alive again to me. That's our Father. That was the condition of this man. A great way off he came. Look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. Let your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. God's waiting, just like the father of the prodigal. Amen. If you've gotten away, come on back, he says. The hardest part of that is for you to get up and go. For you to admit that you've messed up. But God's waiting to receive you. Look at Job chapter. I forgot to write down the chapter, so I don't know where that is. I got the verses. Isaiah 55. Let's try that. Isaiah 55, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let them return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. Somebody need to come back home this morning? Maybe you know somebody that needs to come home. Take care of that today. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Father, I'd started another message for today, and for some reason you drew me to this one, God. And I just can't help believe that there is someone here this morning that needed this message today.
God, help each of us to realize how important and how willing you are to accept our repentance. We look at the children of Israel, and time and time and time and time and time again they rebelled against you. And yet each time when they cried out to you for mercy, you forgave them and were willing to put your blessings back upon them. God, it's no different with us today. Help us to realize how much you care, how much you love us, how ready you are to pardon and cleanse if we will just awake to our situation and repent of that sin. Father, if there's someone here this morning that's never trusted you as Savior, you are more than ready and willing to receive them as your child. Help them to understand that, God. And I pray for your working in hearts as you see the need this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.